welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Once again, here we are, and today is another day. I think this is like show 9 already. Can you believe it? 9 hours of Dr. Bell. That's pretty pathetic, isn't it? Anyway, been an interesting week. Gotten more and more emails from you out there. A lot of different questions. I can see definitely that we need to do some review on a few items. I've got a lot of people have been using the nuclear receptor now, and they're asking a lot of different questions about the use of it in conjunction with the projector. So today I'm going to be touching on those kinds of subjects. I had one contact with from Sumyasi this week, which was very brief. It was about the hurricanes, which was kind of interesting. And I guess there is going to be some kind of a return of the Pleiadian energy back into this whole scene. I didn't expect it so soon, but I don't know if it's a good thing they're coming back or a bad thing. I haven't had any contact like I did, I think it was yesterday, in years, basically, as to what came through yesterday. And it should be posted up on the site, the blog site, hopefully. And it's a very brief statement, but it was profound, as usual. And so that's kind of what's been going on around here. The energy has been very slow in the astral planes. There's been a lot of confusion out there. The hurricane stuff, I also noticed I get an update on the stealing of our constitutional freedoms and noticed that there are now 600 Army-controlled federal state prisons or prisons put up around the country now, 600. There's a couple websites you can go to look at. I've just looked under Army civilian prisons, and in the search engine, it'll take you right up to some interesting websites. The one guy that was taking some pictures, I noticed everybody that they knew they were being photographed from outside the compound. They, of course, put their hands up by their face. It's all part of it, and then there's a big tie-in with FEMA. And those of you who heard my early radio shows from 20 years ago, I remember I told you when FEMA was forming that this is what they were going to be doing. This was their main purpose. That's why their true nature came out in the Katrina hurricane. They just didn't show up because that's not what they're really here for. So anyway, those are the kinds of things that are going on now. So today we're going to talk about the nuclear receptor. And the nuclear receptor is a device that's Pleiadian in origin. And we've had it around here since 1981, so we've got a pretty good feedback on what it does. And also, I might add that we're going to get, we're kind of getting past the introduction phases of this radio show. This is episode 9 now. That's enough introduction. I'm sure people are tired of me introducing myself. Should have somewhat of a background on me now. I will eventually get some more pictures up on the blog and service website. We're also changing the Paradigm website around a bit to make it more accommodable. We had to, I just realized that we were on about a third of the products we were selling, we were losing money on, so we had a fairly hefty price increase on most products because of inflation. And it's really funny because I remember when the company started with the Pyridome, which is a pyramid device that's worn on the head that places you in alpha state. When we started with that, the price was, we sold it for $10, $9.95. And that was back in 1975, I believe, 76, somewhere in there. And today we can't even make one for that. So shows you what inflation does. I think the product sells for $49 now. That's inflation. Back in those days, I remember gold prices were $1.25 an ounce, $125 an ounce. And today it's close to $500, and I remember the cost of the wire bending to make one of those pyramids was 70 cents, and that's gone up considerably. And it's just amazing, and the handling and the packaging and the overhead have quadrupled. So the prices have gone up. So the big thing was, which has gone up is the portamids and the capstones, but there's still a good price, and the irradiators, all that's gone up now. And the projector systems will probably take a hike pretty soon, too. We did the introduction, and probably the receptors may go up a little, but right now we're holding steady on those prices. Also, I want to bring up, before we get into any technical stuff, is that you'll need to have the Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light book somewhere in your perimeter fairly soon, because we're going to start, even today, referring to charts. There's a lot of pictures in that book. There's about 412 pictures, I believe, somewhere around last count. Anyway, there might have been one or two added since then. I don't know, in reprints. But you know, there's quite a few pictures in the book, and we're going to be referring to those because I'm going to start getting a little bit more detailed now and technical than I have in the past about the different things. So anyway, getting on into the receptors, one of the I had a question come in the other day from a person, I don't forget where he was, Florida or somewhere, and he asked me, he says, well, he says, he gave a couple of examples of running into friends of his ex-wife and relatives and things, and not quite making the contact he was trying to make, but coming really close, and he asked me if what he could do to fine-tune the receptor to make a better communication, make things happen, as he was explaining it, quicker, so have some kind of control of the higher intelligence that works around him. But basically, there's a couple things going on in the question, there's a couple things going on in the answer. Number one, you'll never take complete control of the higher force around you. What you do is you lead that higher force in the direction that you want to go, and then you make observations. At least I do. I make observations if I'm making progress in that direction. Now, when you start looking at life that way, and you have a direction, you just can't sit around and make wishes and make things happen. At least I never have been able to, and I've never known anybody that could, except unless you have a magic lamp. And last time I checked, somebody stole my magic lamp and the genie with it. So since I don't have that, I'm having to rely more on reality. But the bottom line is that you have to pretty much figure out what you want to do. And if you don't know what you want to do, then what you need to do is find out who you are. And finding out who you are, you need to let down everything. You need to forgive yourself. One of the biggest things that people have a problem with in life is the ability to forgive themselves. And what I find about 90% or 80% of the families and situations I've been in and seen around my life is that people are living in chaos and confusion, which somehow or other guilt comes on to the child at a very early age. In other words, shut up, be quiet, don't talk. Things that children hear, don't ask now, your parents will take care of it. All these kinds of derailing questions come in your early stages of life a lot of times. Not in all cases. Some families are not dysfunctional and actually do explain things and do care. But unfortunately, the majority of them aren't that way. So this makes people apprehensive, and it develops a form of consciousness that I call shame. Your people are actually ashamed internally, and so that blocks a lot of their energy fields. And when you start working with something like the nuclear receptor, and you start finding out who you are, it's very important to get past the barrier of shame and lack of confidence and fortitude. This is a very important thing that necessary to happen in order to move forward in life. And a lot of people aren't even, a lot of people from these attitudes of shame and confusion and develop a impulsive, compulsive behavior problems, and at least oftentimes to addiction, alcohol, drugs. These are forms, these lead into addiction of some sort. It could be any kind of addiction. It could be shopping, it could be gambling, it could be sexual, it could be a lot of different things. But then addictions start forming into these lifestyles that people have. And it doesn't mean that this is an overwhelming compulsion to be that way. It could be a subtle thing, and that's probably the subtle ones are the more dangerous ones, because these then work into your personality, and you become one of these people that just never quite makes it. You have a destructive behavior that only surfaces in the last hour. You've done all your homework and your research, and you put a project together. It's 99.9% running. It's starting to get up and fly, and you just threw a wrench in it at the last minute. There's people around that do that. And then there's other people that, when they come up on success, they come into what I call fear, the fear factor. I'm becoming successful, and I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm going to have a health problem, and it's this endless series of things that people run into and broach these kinds of situations. And I could go on all day on psychological things, because I've worked in workshops and worked with all these kinds of people. Probably I have a little of it in myself. But I think we all have a little of this in ourselves, regardless of how stable and how successful we are in a life station position. So what that has to do with the nuclear receptor is that, if you remember a couple of shows back, we talked about the aura quite a bit, especially I think the last show and the one before that, the human aura. And the human aura is an electrical field, And if the human aura, because of toxins or lack of trace minerals, is not complete, you're never going to get all these answers for these excessive compulsive problems that we're talking about. The answers can never come. And so if the answers can't come, then you become part of another part of our society, and you go to, you know, Prozac and Xanax and all these different MOA-inhibiting type drugs, which now covers up the problem. Now, when you cover the problem up, all you're doing with these drugs is forming an addiction. You might as well have alcohol, pot, marijuana, PCP, LSD, ecstasy, whatever. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. It's just another way of covering up a problem. And when you start covering these problems up, in order to have the strength to face them, you need to have trace minerals in your body. That's why we got into so much development of trace minerals. And when you start wearing a nuclear receptor, because of the way that it manipulates the chi forces on the disc itself, and it sends that radionic energy back into the aura, it's going to cause a tremendous clarity in the body all of a sudden. And if a person is not used to this huge amount of clarity, this might be a bit of a shock. If you wake up and you start to realize that you are something, there is something going on. And usually when you get a shot of clarity like this, the drugs don't work anymore. You become aware. I think you develop an awareness of the habits themselves. And that, of course, could be as good, because now you're motivating yourself out of denial and into looking at what the real situation is. And I think that everybody is in denial. I mean, I've never met anybody that wasn't. We're not, you know, we know what the ideal person, probably most of us know what the ideal person should be, but none of us are perfect. So because none of us are perfect, we're working towards perfection. As we strive towards perfection, we have a thing called patience, where we are a lack of it. In the case of me being a triple Leo, it's the lack of it. And with lack of patience going on, it pushes us off into denial. We don't accept the fact that we're not patient, and we don't accept the fact that it takes time for the universe to realize what we want to accomplish, whether it be for someone else or for ourselves. And believe it or not, the first thing you need to do is accomplish things for yourselves and reach peace of mind. It becomes almost impossible to reach out and help someone else. But once you do help, you know, reach peace of mind or some form of stability and understanding of yourself, then it's imperative that you go out and help someone else. Otherwise, you can't have your own personal, you won't have your own personal growth. And that's always worked for me. So it's kind of an interesting parallax if you look at it that way, but that's sort of how it works. First, you got to fix yourself and make sure that you're confident in yourself. Then you go out and help someone else. Now, in the process of helping someone else, you're gonna find deeper and deeper character flaws. You're gonna find things that are wrong with your personality that need to be fixed, but and that you wouldn't have discovered had you not been out helping someone else. But the big point is, when do you take the first step? And I think I can help with some of those solutions. When to take the first step from within ourselves to go out and help someone else. And the answer to that is quite simple. That step will be taken for you. You don't even have to consider it. All you need to do is consider is taking care of yourself. All right? So that's how that begins. So we start looking at the nuclear receptor to describe what it looks like. It looks like a satellite dish. It's about an inch and a half in diameter. It has a whole bunch of small little pyramids arranged on it. It used to have 144, but the numbers changed now because we've improved the molds. And they are laid out in what's called the Fibonacci series. And what the Fibonacci series is a natural order of life. If you were to look at a pine cone, a ring of cones or on the pine cone, the little things that stick up on there to make the pine cone up, to make it have its appearance, you'd see that on one row there might be two. In the next row, you might see three in the very center of it. And then two is five, so the next row is going to be five. And the next row is going to be eight. Three and five is eight. And the next row is going to be the sum of the previous row, and so on and so on. And that's called the Fibonacci series. And that works on petals of a rose, pine cones. It works on just about anything that has any sort of a snail shell. If you look at the way a snail shell, you notice it starts out very tiny and it's despiraling and it goes way out if you do the curvature of that. And by the way, just to show you how science has looked at that, Victor Schoenberg, for example, in Germany back during World War II, looked at the design of a snail shell, and developed his Schomburg turbines, which were used in a disc type craft that Hitler used. And another thing, speaking of nature, there was another turbine called the Trout turbine, which was discovered when people were working with anti-gravity. They noticed that a trout, why does a trout go out into the stream? Why doesn't he go out and try to swim upstream in the middle of it? Why doesn't he go along the edge of the stream where the water is much less flow? And they found that the center of the stream is colder, and that colder, along with that water motion, a faster water motion, produces less gravity. So there's actually less resistance out there gravity-wise than there is along the edge. Little things you run across, little axioms. But anyhow, back to the receptor. The receptor dish is round, having pyramids laid out in a Fibonacci series. And when you look straight at it, you'll see pyramids upside down, and you see pyramids right side up. The upside down pyramids and the right side up pyramids produce a field. If you were doing muscle testing, as is described in my Rays of Truth book, where you put a pyramid on somebody's head and have them extend their right arm out and push down on it and measure their strength, and then turn the pyramid upside down and press the arm down, you're going to find when the pyramid is upside down on somebody's head, they're going to test a lot weaker muscle testing than they do with the pyramid right side up, because of the yin and yang and chi forces being out of balance. And everybody that I've ever tested, that's true. People that have less of that being out of balance have only been high-level martial arts teachers and some yogis that I studied with from Tibet. I mean, these are Tibetan-born yogis, people that are disciplined in these forms of meditation in their entire lives. They're the only ones that ever almost reach a balance, and most of them are still out of balance. They say as properties of the earth, we're not all perfect. So anyway, looking at that, look at if you were to take the receptor and hold it close to someone and test them, they would also test very strong too. If you held the pyramid, the receptor straight down on their head, where it's, all the pyramids are upside down, they're going to test weak. If you test the right side up, put it on their head, they're going to test strong every time because the pyramids are pointing up. That's laying it on the top of the head, that kind of a test. If you were to give somebody, if you were to put the pyramid around their neck, the receptor around their neck and test them, they're going to test stronger than they would without it around their neck. And what's really interesting is if you take a tube of glue or something that's poisonous, like some paint thinner, and you put it in a small cup and you hold it near their nose and test them while they're taking a small breath of it, they're going to test extremely weak. But if you put the pyramid on their heads, the receptor around their necks, rather, or the pyramid on their head, either one, actually, and you muscle test them with the glue or the paint thinner by their nose, they're going to test stronger wearing the receptor, breathing this stuff, than they did normal without any of the poison in their body. So that's going to tell you that's very profound, meaning that the receptor appears to make people stronger than they normally are. So what happens is, when you look at what causes this, is there's a field down there on that receptor, and the upside down pyramids are producing a yin field, and the right side up pyramids are producing a yang field. And where the yin and the yang come together is at about an inch out, or a quarter, or actually about 3/4 of an inch out from the base of the receptor, from the center of it. And that's where the two fields would come together. In other words, that's a neutral field. And that's the first wavelength of the particular scalar wave that receptor produces. Well, with the receptor, like with an irradiator, which is a tall device, it's a very tall device. If you were to look at its field, it has upside down and right side up pyramids also, but they're not arranged in concentric Fibonacci-oriented circles. They are arranged, it is arranged just in a normal manner of a vertical ascension of pyramids. The irradiator has a much bigger arc, and it stands 5 feet tall, and it produces a scalar wave also, but the scalar wave that it produces is different than the one in geometry than the one on the receptor. It's different in the fact that it has to have two small horizontal arms to stabilize it, whereas the receptor is round, so that's the ultimate stability. So it's producing more of a conical scalar wave versus a trapezoidal shape that the radiator produces. And I have photographs of both, by the way, and those of you that come to the seminars that I'm starting to organize now later on this year or next year, probably more like next year, that you're going to see actual photographs of some of these things we're talking about. So anyway, the energy comes together at a certain point in that receptor, and that's the focal point. And rather than let that energy escape and go on out of the receptor, we reverse it at that point and send it back through the center of the receptor. There's a little hole in the middle of it in the center of the dish. So what happens is it goes back through the center. And when it goes back through the center, it goes out on the human aura. But before we reverse it and send it back, we condition it. And when I say condition it, what we do is we put a gemstone on there. And if you go to the Pyridyne website, you'll see a color chart. If you click on, first of all, store, inline, in-house store, and then go down in the receptors, you'll see a color chart. And you can test yourself for the color that you need. And what you're actually doing when you do that is you are looking at the flaws, of the character flaws of your hydrogen atom, which is your atom that brings your consciousness into your body. Your body is made up of oxygen, which animates the body, nitrogen, which produces protein in the body, substance and form, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon. And carbon is the last thing. Carbon is the shape atom. It's the one that directs all these other three gases into a shape. The hydrogen atom is the one that brings in consciousness, and the hydrogen atom is the one that can cause you to go into acid or alkaline or disease or non-disease condition. And the hydrogen atom is a director of everything. So when you want to realize what everything that goes on in the body, it has to go through the hydrogen atom. The other three atoms, well, the other two gas atoms basically are slaves to the hydrogen atom, and the carbon atom is nothing more than the grounding factor, or it's like the anchor. You know, that's the best way to consider that. As it is the anchor. It anchors the material, the spirituality, the energy, the electrical precursing fields, all of these things. It anchors them into a field that becomes energized by your soul and clothed upon by your personality and your many, many past lives. And, of course, the gases bring all this up, and the fingerprints, all the other stuff we've discussed come to fruition. Well, as I said in the very beginning of this, that everybody has a character flaw, or many. If you're like me, you have a list that never finishes itself. So with all these flaws, you know, we got to go back to the hydrogen atom and start patching them up. Well, the best thing to do is to take the worst flaw first. Usually, in any situation, you deal the worst, most drastic, catastrophic problem first, and then from this draconian situation, we build upon the spiral staircase that takes us up into the heaven where we don't have so many problems. And so that's what the receptor will begin to do. For example, if you have a blockage, an energy blockage, both on your lower part of your body and the higher part of your body, then that's pretty obviously a thyroid problem. The thyroid and the parathyroid are very important. Not only are they responsible for temperature and the assimilation of calcium into the body, but thyroid is also regulating body temperature, appetite, all of these things. And this is done by compromising what you think and what you feel. And so what you think department is up in the head, the crown chakra and the brain. And what you feel is the solar plexus down below the throat. So they got one above and one below the throat of two major centers that have to intersect somewhere, forming a figure eight. When we get into the projector later on and start studying that, you'll begin to realize that that projector works amazingly well there too. So anyway, what happens is this figure eight energy, first of all, medical science recognizes it as the hypothalamus area of the body. They gave it's the emotional brain-mind center. And so if you're having problems in this area, we would obviously, the hydrogen atom is stripped of its green color, its ability to process green. If we were to look at levels of conscious, green becomes known as the intellect. It's the third ray. It's a female energy, believe it or not. So it goes on and on. I mean, a woman could be having some menstrual problems. The males could be having problems developing their female nature. It's an endless series of things that goes on inside the body when the thyroid is functioning in the wrong way or not functioning at all. And, you know, medical science only recognizes the thyroid when it has a massive dysfunction. And what do? They usually remove it, which then leaves the etheric counterpart of it there to function, which is pretty slim at best of getting the real output of a thyroid, you know, of a thyroid gland. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The thyroid also produces thyroxin, and it's a major. It's one of the seven levels of consciousness in the body. So obviously, you got subtle thyroid problems. You've got other problems that are major. Doesn't matter. You need an emerald. You need something green on your body. You know, if you look at the charts in my book, Rays of Truth, you'll also see there's a whole correspondence of things that go with this. With this need for the thyroid to be replenished. And speaking of, you know, while I'm at the thyroid gland, when you do get the Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light, make a note of this if you don't have it now. Go to page 67. Page 67 is a chart called the Pyridin DNA and Hormone Chart. And it really shows you the gateways. It shows you how the oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon are put together into DNA and RNA. And the receptor, by the way, being a device that is used in life extension. It goes in there and it shows you how the body is 5% mineral, which controls 95% of the metabolism of the body. You'll see that chart. And by the way, you know, the trace minerals, as soon as we get, let's say we're working with a thyroid and we muscle test and we find that that's not functioning properly, then what happens is we need the color green. We're now going to install an emerald into the bridge, and we're going to process on the frequency of the emerald. This emerald is going to, when it goes into the body, let's say you're putting trace minerals in your body. You know, when you deal with trace minerals, you're dealing partially with what's called the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are pretty much physically stored in the silicon dioxide world. In the silicon dioxide world, of course, is quartz crystals. And quartz crystals grow at the rate of 0.1% every 10 years. And the reason that they're growing, even though they're out of the ground, by the way, the reason they're growing is because mankind is moving ahead and expanding in consciousness all of the time. Man is learning more. Man is reproducing, becoming more man. More events are taking place. And this is all recorded. And in order to start to become confident with yourself within the present, be here now, the moment that you're in, because that is reality itself, it's nice to have a record of history, a good record, a solid record of history, of historical events, times, feelings, emotions, a whole calendar of all your past lives, all of that brought up to the subconscious, at least if you can't bring it forth consciously, which most people can't, and have it there on command. Even though you're not aware of it, it's there. And that's what trace minerals do. Trace minerals give us that awareness of all those past lives and all of that on a subconscious level until we're fully self-realized or enlightened. So trace minerals, even though, like, say you start taking them, the trace minerals that I develop are the ones that came from a red clay that are only 2,000 years old, not from these Great Salt Lake and these other places, these million-old trace mineral sources that most people use. We never use those because those trace minerals are dead. The life force has long since departed, so it's not there anymore. So when you have these trace minerals present in your body, and there's about 112 or 13 of them in our formulas, in the Pyrrolo formula, and you're wearing the nuclear receptor, and remember, most of our biochemical formulas are designed to work around our precursing products. We did it the way we had to do it. Other people do it the way they have to do it. I look at everything as energy first and result later. So energy follows thought in my book, and the mind is the slayer of the real. So therefore, I look at the precursing. I set the precursing energies up in the body, and then when the precursing energies are set up properly in the body, they will coordinate downward from inward and outward and down and from above to below. They will coordinate the electrical fields, which then will set up the biochemical metabolizing fields, so that your assimilation rates are much higher and your metabolism is much stable and your pH is correct. And in order to do that and get 100% results as we do, this is why we start with a nuclear receptor. But at the same time, we have to have the trace minerals present, because if the trace minerals are not present, the nuclear receptor can't do what it's designed to do all at once. It's going to start scavenging the body for trace minerals, and most people don't have any because there's none in the foods that we eat today, because since the dust bowls of Kansas several years ago took place, there haven't been any trace minerals. They've just been destroyed. And so therefore, everybody is lacking that. And our society, of course, is definitely going in a negative sexual direction versus a positive spiritual direction. Using sex as a reinforcement, it becomes an escape. and an addiction for most people. So what happens is, because of this, we need to start addressing these problems. And one of them is nutrition. Yeah, everybody needs trace minerals, but what good are trace minerals if your brain doesn't have the frequencies available to fire synapses off to metabolize them? In other words, you could put them in your body, but you're not going to assimilate them. Therefore, it doesn't matter whose trace minerals, even ours aren't going to work if you don't have the assimilation vehicle available. So that's what the nuclear receptor is going to do. It's going to set a potential up into the brain to fire off these synapses, because once the energy of the scalar wave has gone in a conical shape into the filter, in this case it's an emerald, it fires its energy back out through the hole in the center. And if you look at the back of the nuclear receptor, you're going to see this pattern on there. And by the way, that pattern is, they call a Yannon Mantran. And what it is, it's a microwave trap. And what a microwave trap does is, any energy coming off the receptor, or it's, in other words, there's an airspace between the dish and the gem, and there's an airspace from the gem through the hole to your body. There's airspace. There's a big airspace back into your aura field, probably a couple of inches to the core of your aura. So we've got to protect this field. So what we have to do is, this field is going to pick up ELF, extremely low frequency. This field is going to pick up a lot of radio energies and cell phone energies and aircraft energies and radar and HARP and all these things that are going on. And that field is going to become contaminated. So what we have to do is protect the field. And so what we do is, we filter, we strain that field at the last moment, so that that field, what's coming out of that conical field of scalar wave, processed scalar wave at this point, it's processed for you, it's timed for you, it's programmed for your body, it's also programmed, it's a programming process that's taking place here. So once all that's done, it comes into your body, it's got to go in there perfectly as a perfect, clear field of influence on your hydrogen atom, because your hydrogen atom is so used to getting distortion all day long, from your personality, from your environment, from the smog, from the pollution, from the noise. All of these things are negative electrical precursing energies: dirty water, preservatives in food, arguments, etc., etc. All this stuff all day long, 24/7, 365, in most people is negative. I mean, yeah, you get a little bit of time off here and there, but overall, you got to have something to pull you out. And this receptor is designed to do exactly that. You can stay in your negative field, and it's going to process anyway. It doesn't care whether you're getting screamed at. Your assimilation of your trace mineral formulation will be just fine while somebody's screaming at you while you take it, believe it or not. That's what these things do. They're that strong. They're that powerful. They're that effective. That's why they've been around all these years. That's why they're patented, by the way. And that's why the FDA is interested in it in a positive way, believe it or not. So anyway, that's very important to understand that. So over on page 67, it starts to take you through the charts. Now, when you have trace minerals in your body, trace minerals now are partially, there's silicon dioxide is a trace mineral along with others. And the Akashic record is not just limited to silicon dioxide. It just happens to be in a spectrum of frequencies. The silicon dioxide happens to be white in color, or clear. The clear quartz is the better one. So what happens is, you're looking at a white frequency to a store Akasha, or a clear frequency. So what is white? It's the summation of all colors. So obviously, all of the trace minerals have a bit of Akashic records in them, but the most clearest ones would be a diamond or silicon dioxide or something that's clear. Obviously, the diamond would be the highest form of that. And of course, diamonds grow too out of the ground, but they work more on compression than growth as a quartz does. So diamonds aren't alive as quartz, believe it or not. And diamonds are a lot harder, but diamonds are great for gemstones in the receptor for focusing on the crown chakra, whereas a quartz crystal wouldn't do that. It's not intense enough. So every stone has its quantum decay rate, or quantum approval rate of energy fields. So we're getting into the human aura with a radionic field, a conical scalar wave field that's perfect in the color green. So now we're going to activate all the trace minerals in the body. Well, this is where, if you put the trace minerals in the body, this parallel formula I mentioned, they start firing off synaptic wires in your brain. Okay, now this kind of a person that's fairly clear, it's going to get a certain amount of clarity fairly quickly with a nuclear receptor, because
they're going to when the trace minerals are present and the firing of the synapses is clear because the energy electrical fields, remember, we come from electrical precursing energy to electricity, so the precursing field is clear. It's a pure emerald. It's coming through a perfect conical scalar field. It's coming into the hydrogen atom in perfection. It's uniting anywhere on the body there's a hydrogen atom. It is not any particular place it's focused to. It's the entire aura. And it only has to be focused to one place. It is focused everywhere. So now the hydrogen atom is starting to function. The thyroid gland comes alive. You know, starts to work like it's supposed to. The third ray, the ray of active intelligence, is now kicking in. And things are starting. Remember, active intelligence is very important because now you can start interpreting some of your thoughts rather than confusion. So from confusion into something that's real, that makes sense. And that then gives you a good feeling. So now energy follows. This is when we say mind is the slayer of the real. But when you correct the real and it no longer has to be slain, then what happens is the energy follows thought and you feel it down your solar plexus. So now the emerald has opened up the head center where the confusion is, filtered it down through your thyroid gland and deposited that into your gray matter on your stomach, on your diaphragm, which also has the gray matter on it. And now the hypothalamus is turned on, and that's what the receptor is doing in this case. It could be, if you had a heart problem, it's a whole other set of things, which would be a whole other explanation. But we're just doing one explanation right now, because I don't think I'll have enough time to do two or three. I might. So right now we're just dealing with just one color, one facet of the nuclear receptor, the emerald. Just one facet of the receptor. That's just, it does so much more than what I'm talking about. So now let's say the trace minerals are there. They're firing off perfectly. So the trace minerals are quite active now. And you're getting it's like when we do a spectral analysis on an element. We just brought a moon rock back or a Martian rock back. And we're looking at it. What we want to do is we want to fluoresce. We put energy to it, and we fluoresce that mineral. In other words, we heat it up to a point where it flashes. A tiny bit of it flashes. And the color of light that it flashes tells us what it is. We now look at it through a fluoroscope. Or some other form of spectral analyzing device, and we're looking at this color, and guess what? We're looking at the seven basic colors. Isn't that funny? The scientists are coming, bringing back moon rocks, fluoresce something, do a spectroscope analysis, and they're looking for the color. What are they looking for? The intelligence, the consciousness of that particular stone. And it fluoresces off in purple, violet, or some color in between. It says, okay, well, we flashed this rock over here, and that was iron. It flashed over here in red. This thing must have iron in it because it's flashing in red. And we know iron to be something to do with hemoglobin in our red blood cells in our body. We know that's the first ray. Red is the first ray. It's the will. So if we were doing a ruby, we'd be dealing with the will. So you begin to see the green flashes off. What kind of mineral is that? Well, that's chromium dioxide. It's an emerald. Oh, my God, we found an emerald on Mars. It just goes on and on and on. It's really fascinating. So this is what the brain does. This is what the synapses do. The synapses now fire off in your brain. They fire off at the rate of green, and now you start getting a true interpretation of the green energies of consciousness in your life. So what does that mean? Well, you're walking down the street, and now you've got clarity. You don't have clarity yet, let's say, of all the seven spectres of the entire human aura, but now you've got clarity of one. That gives you a reference point. And when you have a reference point, an internal reference point, and you meet some other person and your personality starts to form because your aura and theirs is interchanging, which was, I think, the topic of our last show, you get this interchange, this personality, you've got the receptor there, and now what happens is, boom, you're starting to get clarity in the encounter with the other person. So now energy follows thought, and energy seeks its own balance. So if you're starting to get clarity by this interchange of thought and action between this other person, now you start to move away from any confusing energies that person has and establish clarity in your own aura. When you have clarity in your aura, what's the next step? Think about it. What is the next step if you establish clarity in your own aura by coming up to someone, say, slightly in confusion? So what we've got done here is we've established clarity in our own aura. We've come up into confusion, somebody's in confusion, and maybe we've set them straight. So what's the next step? Does anybody know out there? I'll give you a second. What would be the next step? Well, the next step, I guess I'll have to answer because I didn't hear anybody say anything. It's balance. So when you have balance, then that leaves you the table open, the field open, the stage bare, and allows something to enter. It allows something to come up into the balance, to upset the balance. Now, that doesn't mean it's negative. you're upsetting the balance might be, let's say you're trying to make more money and have a better life financially, to make a better financial thing for your family. And I refer to that because this is third ray energy now. Money is green, it's the emerald. That money works on this balance, this particular balance. So what happens is you set up a balance that you didn't have before. You've interfaced with another person. You've seen a flaw in their character. You may not have presented it to him. Maybe you actually showed him a better way. It means you took care of yourself, and now you've helped someone else. And you've achieved a balance point, and that allows something good to move into your life and something bad to move out of it. Balance always moves in a positive direction, but it does move. It doesn't sit still. So now you'll be able to see something that you didn't see before, because now the clarity of firing off the synapse, the clarity is there. You've got your wisdom factor is coming up, and you're starting to get a clearer view of what this is all about. And this is where the next thing that comes into focus is, which is very interesting. And by the way, once again, that's page 67 of the Rays of Truth book, which you'd really highly recommend that you look at that particular thing, that particular page. This brings us to the next level. And by the way, on page 196, there's a seven-ray correspondence chart with all the colors, the consciousness, the vitamins. There's vitamins, like if we're dealing with the emerald, if we tested strong for an emerald, we definitely are low in vitamin C, which is collagen. And it's used to make collagen in the body. That's one of the most important things that vitamin C does. It binds up the force. It's a binding. It's an adhesive force. And on the atomic level, it would be a gluon. And when it means the gluons need to be shored up within a hydrogen atom. And the hydrogen atom, of course, has quarks in it. And quarks are composed of leptons. And leptons have to do with our specific gravity, our specific desires. There are also inside of quarks, within those, are energies coming from the astral plane called omegons. Omegons contain color and perception of color, which is now perception. So now what happens is, by wearing the emerald, our perception powers go up, clear into the astral plane. And all of these atomic, in the new book, The Inside Track, explains more of this. But I'm just showing you, I'm touching you a little bit on how this starts to work. And now you begin to see why it's going to be necessary to have the book in the future, because we're going to get a little more technical in our discussions, but at the same time, I think you're going to find them much more informative and much more applicable to what you want to do. So this is the beginning of it. Now the synapses are firing. You're perceiving the situation with another person from a whole other level than you did before. And this perception gives you an input which allows your own character flaws to be changed and oriented in a positive direction, so you then move forward. Now, the next thing that comes up into all of this is the material in the receptor itself. In other words, we make them out of different materials. And people want to know, I mean, why would somebody spend $18,000 on a platinum receptor when they can turn around and buy for under $200 a base metal receptor? And there's a reason for it. It's not because they want to have bling. It's because they have realized, by probably wearing that $200 one, they have realized a change in their metabolism over a period of time where the cost of the receptor is no longer a factor, but the performance is. I guarantee people don't buy platinum receptors, because I can take a solid gold one and silver plate it, and you wouldn't know the difference, I mean, as far as looks. So it's not about the look, it's about what it does. When we started developing these materials, these receptors, in the very beginning, we knew we started out by wearing zinc. We wore a zinc bar around each person that was in the tests that we did wore a zinc bar. And we weighed this zinc bar with a very accurate scale. And some people would absorb that zinc. We had to wear it not on the outside of your clothes, but on the inside for this experiment. The receptor could be worn anywhere. And what happened was the zinc bar, when it was worn, would become lighter. Some people, it would barely lose a little weight at all, and other people would lose a huge amount of weight. And so because of that, we began to realize that the body needs a lot of zinc. If the body is screaming for it, it'll actually metabolize it from an inorganic form, which this obviously was. So then we found out that cadmium
was the material that absorbed radiation. And in our work, we realized that people, typically, one of the reasons that people's pH was too acidic was because it was their body's reaction to outside forms of radiation. And for example, the drinking water is 18 times more radioactive than it was 50 years ago before we exploded 962 bombs on this planet, hydrogen and atomic bombs, which made everything radioactive. Because remember the half-life of the material that these bombs are made of in the fallout, the half-life is over, 2,000 years. And as a result, cancer rate have soared on this planet since 1945. So anyway, so cadmium was the material that we found out when we were working at the Manhattan Project. I wasn't working on it, but friends of mine did. They found that cadmium absorbed radiation. And of course, when the Manhattan Project was running in operation, that was out at Los Alamos, New Mexico. That's where they developed the atomic bomb in secrecy in the early 40s. And they didn't know about radiation. It was trial and error in those days. There's another book on our website. You might want to look at how the human race has used radiation in the last 100 years. And we used to drink radon water. We used to think radiation was good for you. It was because of life force, because it glowed in the dark. I mean, that's how stupid people were. And so there was a lot of radioactive water holders and all kinds of other things that were sold for the last 100 years. Another story. Bottom line was we learned a lot about radiation from the Manhattan Project. And we learned that cadmium was a good way to get it out of the body. So we also, of all the different metals we wore, we found the zinc was one that was most assimilable. So the first receptors that we made were nickel and cadmium. That was the base metal with a gold plate on them for orientation to keep them lined to the north. Well, we found a lot of people when they wore these zinc cadmium receptors, and they wore them up against their skin, which a lot of people do, the back of the receptor itself would melt into their bodies, meaning the gold would wear off. It didn't wear off, it was absorbed. The other surface metals that are on there to support the gold, the copper, all that was gone. And they were down to a bare zinc, and then zinc starts to disappear into their bodies. So we knew they had really high level of assimilation. They had huge mineral deficiencies. That's what it told us. And so then that's when we began to work with trace minerals and bring those on board. That's how we actually did it back in the 80s. So the trace minerals came as a result of these deteriorating receptors. Well, today we still make the same receptor, and that problem doesn't usually happen as much anymore because we know right away when somebody calls in, they try to tell us we have a bad plating on this receptor. We say, no, it's not bad plating. It's a very good plating. You have a very high acidic, a lot of acid in your body. I bet if you take a litmus pH test, you're going to find that you're in a danger zone, and they usually do, and they find out, and so then, we're going to fix it now. The receptor will help balance your pH, but it needs help. So you need to take those trace minerals, and you need to drink those things. You need two or three bottles a month in your system. They take the trace minerals, and boom, in a month or two, their pH is normal, and they're not eating up metals. And I'm sure some of you out there have worn a gold ring, and it turns your finger green, all that. Well, you're in that category. Wear the receptor and use the trace minerals, and all that goes away in a short period of time. Even though you've had it all your life, it will still go away. So the next metal, we found that they absorbed quite a bit of radiation, but we wanted to increase the energy more. So the next step was to use silver. Silver is a tetrahedral-shaped molecule more than an octahedral molecule. So it's more intense, much more so than cadmium and zinc. So we went to the silver as a base metal for the nuclear receptor. And we found that the receptor became probably five times more effective. But it did have a problem in becoming five times more effective. It also became five times more radioactive in the base metal, what we call the base metal, the zinc-cadmium receptor. The cadmium is able to absorb the radiation and neutralize it fairly quickly, so we don't have to wash the receptor off. But with the silver ones, we found that you have to wash those off every 4 or 5 or 6 days and rinse them off in water, and then they're not radioactive anymore. And so the silver one definitely increased the effects, the performance, the synaptic firing levels in the brain, all these kinds of things. It definitely gave us a much higher performance. So the silver became the one of choice for quite a while. And so silver was the next one, the sterling silver, which was fairly non-tarnishing. Some of them turn black on your when you wear them, but that's not from tarnishing as much as your body. Once again, as you're one of these people that's absorbing a lot of minerals and you're oxidizing it goes into a chemical electrical change because the receptor is a precursing device, and the receptor now is increasing your pH level of your body, but it's becoming acidic in the process itself. And so silver, this is a metal that shows that activity up more, because we're going from precursing energy electrical to biochemical, and of course silver is more active in the electrical level than it is in the other levels. So boom, that shows up. And so now what happens is the thing starts to turn a darker color, and you have to clean it more often or send it in and we'll clean it for you. Well, we wanted to go further with it, and we knew that the gold one was going to be probably one of the best materials to ever use on a receptor. So we developed an 18-karat gold nuclear receptor. 18-karat is the frequency of the carbon atom in the body, as well as whatever, you know, if it's the emerald one, is going to be the frequency of the bridge, is going to be the frequency of the thyroid, plus it's going to be amplified into the carbon atom. So the 18-karat gold receptor becomes an alchemical transformer, basically, which the other two receptors don't. So each one has characteristics, but they go further. So now you have an alchemical transformer. And what that means is that the solid gold receptor has tremendous healing force on the body. It causes, whereas the silver and the cadmium zinc ones help the brain fire off in higher neuronic frequencies so that you can perceive these perceptive things that we were talking about earlier on in this discussion. With the gold, it brings you into, it's just like you just now added intuition. Before you have interpretation, now with the 18-karat gold, you've added intuition, because it works so profoundly on the hypothalamus, being, we're talking about the emerald one, that now that you're going to have intuitive powers like you've never had before, because it's balancing not only the hydrogen atom, but it's also balancing the carbon atom. So we picked up one step that we didn't have previously. So when you start balancing both atoms rather than one, you get a profound effect and a profound balance on the body, and the pH changes are like lightning. I mean, they're starting with the zinc cadmium, the low-cost receptor. The pH changes start. It might even destroy the receptor in the process because your body's so acidic. With the gold one, it's just boom, it's done. It's over with quickly. So when people realized that, the gold ones became hugely popular, and they still are today. And that's the one that I like. The platinum one, we may not even get to it in this discussion, but the gold one. And so with the gold one, with this profound intuitive ability to fire off the synapses with the balancing, because when you're balancing the carbon atom and you're balancing the hydrogen atom, you're getting this huge electrical field, and the DNA starts re-spiraling now. Now you're starting to really see the life extension properties and the healing properties of why gold is. This is really the gold receptor will show you why gold has been created gold rushes. It's created wars. It's created monetary standards. You begin to understand what gold is all about when you wear it in the form of a nuclear receptor. That's about as close as I could say to explaining why people like these gold ones. And of course, they're not all that expensive. They have a large expanding range. You can get a gold one at one price, and you can get a gold one at six times more priced if you put a platinum bridge and diamonds on the bridge and all this sort of stuff. So the gold one is the one that I've gotten into for a long time, and I really, really like that one. I've even actually sold them wearing it, and somebody wants it so bad I have to sell the one I'm wearing to them. It's actually happened three or four times now. And boy, I'll tell you, sometimes people say they don't feel the receptor right away. It's when you take it off, you'll feel it. And you take off a solid gold one after wearing it for two or three or four years until you get another one made, you really notice it. And I usually go back to a silver one, and it went a step down. I mean, going up the silver was awesome, but coming from gold, it's like, you know it's there, and you know it's doing something, but it's not like wearing the gold one. You can really feel it. And, of course, I finally, after many years of DNA changes, I got up to wearing the diamond. But a lot of people don't start out with a diamond. They start off with an emerald or one of the other stones. And then also, when you notice the gold one, if you look on our website, you'll see some different bridges
There's what's called a stage one bridge, and there's one called a stage two bridge. The stage bridge has a few diamonds on it. I think it's something a little less than 1 carat of diamonds on it. It's a bridge that supports the center stone. And people, why do you put diamonds on a bridge? Well, what we found out is that there is an effect. Some people, another reminds me of a question. Somebody asked me if the three-legged wave straight or the three-legged wave curved or the four-legged curved bridge does something. Is there a difference in the bridges on these receptors? There's different shapes. And yes, the answer is yes, they do something. They all have a different effect. But a person just starting out, it really doesn't matter what bridge that they have on their receptor, because they're so insensitive to it anyway, they're not going to notice a difference. But once you have worn the receptor for a period of time, and over that period of time of wearing that receptor, your DNA has gone through changes, your liver has detoxed, your brain is firing at a higher rate of synaptic frequencies. Once you've gone through all these successive periods of changes, then you will notice a change in the receptor itself. You'll notice a change in the bridge would be profound. And so, for that reason, the answer is the bridge does mean something. Well, then when you get further along with understanding the bridges, we found that when you put, first we tried different stones. We decided to design a straight bridge, just a straight bridge, four little prongs going to the center, and where we could put faceted stones. And we started out with an amethyst. So we put all amethysts on the bridge, and we got a result. It amplified the lower frequencies of the hydrogen atom. Then we tried rubies. We put rubies on them. And then that, of course, has amplified the willpower, the higher end of the hydrogen atom that works with the will versus the dream state, which is the astral and the sexual. So we found that different colors on the bridge accentuated or amplified even more the effects of the receptor. But we also found that it was a pretty sharp curve, and you had to be pretty careful what stones that you put on the bridge. Otherwise, you were going to have a reaction to it that you didn't like. You might not like it. It might upset the receptor itself. So over the period of experimenting around, I had one that I made was multicolored. There was 7 stones on each bridge. There was a total of 49 stones on the bridge, starting with violet going up to white, and repeating it 4 times on a 4-legged bridge to see what that did. And that had an effect, but it was not a good effect. It was too many different colors in there, and it was interfering. It became an interference pattern to the focus stone out on the bridge. In this case, we're talking about an emerald. It would interfere with it because you have these other colors there. And so because the energy, although it's focused in this one point, that's where the main gemstone is, having a bridge with stones that go up to it could create an interference pattern and actually hinder. It's like this one girl asked me, I think I mentioned it last week, what happens if I wear all 7 receptors at once? And my answer was, well, you don't understand what the receptors do, or you could answer your own question. It will cause confusion. Body doesn't know what color you're wearing. It's selecting constantly a different color. It helps the body at all? Not at all. So what we found out was that the white stone, the diamond stone, was a neutral color, and it would amplify whatever stone was on the bridge. So we decided to stay with the diamonds, and they're not that expensive. These small little tiny mealy diamonds are very small. They're very inexpensive. And so we make a bridge that has either a few less, called a stage one bridge, that has a few less than 1 carat of diamonds on it, or we make a bridge that has about 1.2 carats of bridge that's called a stage two, which is a much more powerful amplifier. So if you have a platinum bridge, a diamond platinum bridge, a gold receptor, and whatever gemstone is out, that's probably the most effective one. It's probably 1,000 times more effective than, say, the $200 zinc cadmium receptor, because it's got a lot of design changes in it that are necessary and a lot of enhancing factors. All these things are enhancing factors. Well, anyway, we'll get into the platinum and all of that probably next discussion. I just suddenly realized I'm out of time here. And That was a very quick show for me. I don't know how it's going to go for you listening to it. It might be the worst one of all. But that's a little bit more about the nuclear receptor. When you get one of these things, there's a 44-page booklet that comes with it that's very imperative that you read. Get on the Paradigm website, find the color chart through the online store, give yourself a test. Give us a call at 1-800-729-2603 if you want more information. Send me an email, fredbell@paradyne.com. I'm actually now answering emails I got back in August, but I eventually get to all of them, believe it or not. It just takes time. And I hope that you guys out there in the southern part of the country stay dry. The ones in the northern part stay warm. And everybody everywhere stay healthy. And until next time, it's Dr. Fred Bell signing off.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.